What is the other side? Like, what's the negative of this new situation versus having everything in-house?
You really have me thinking. Nothing really comes up right now.
Oh boy, Bruce, this is your last episode before you're going to be a dad.
Yeah, the last episode,
Bruce, you texted me and were like, hey, you want to record on Monday? I'm like, no, dude.
Yeah, I wonder if I, maybe it was a you want to record on Monday. Oh, I can sign up this guest.
Last episode as a non-dad, and we're pumped for you.
Thanks, dude. Pre-dad, post-dad episode. Yeah, we got Eduardo out of Puerto Rico. Actually pretty cool because he shares some financial numbers around pre-business and post-business in terms of what he's doing now after he parted ways with his previous partner. Not only that, we dive into how to try to create a healthy business partnership with your, if you have a, you know, co-founder or partner to the business. And that's a pretty important one, but also what numbers could look like if you're brokering and the pros and cons of all of that. So this was kind of cool. Eduardo was really transparent and we always appreciate that. But before we jump into the episode, we've got a couple incredible partners that help us put this show on every single week. Stalls, if you're ready to take custom apparel to the next level, Stalls is a leader in heat printing solutions. Whether you're a small business or just starting out, or an established brand that's scaling, use the code HUSTLER20. That gets you 20% off your next transfer order. Stalls has got the equipment, the transfers, and the support to help your shop grow and be a success.
Bruce, have you heard of Multicraft underscore daddy? I think last time I checked, he's at like 1,400 followers, which like that's a pretty big deal because if you need ink supplies or a daddy or just entertaining content, Multicraft Screen Printing and Digital Supplies for over 50 years has been providing you with the top brands at competitive prices. You can mention the Printavo Pod and receive an extra 10% off your first order. Dave at Multicraft heard that we wanted to give away some supplies. So every episode, he gives away a case of PMI tape. So you can message him on Instagram. That's Multicraft underscore daddy. Leave him a nice comment. Tell him his videos are great. I think he's doing screen printing history videos recently. So we appreciate you, Dave, and the Multicraft team.
I got more giveaways. Easy Way gives away $250 of product credit every single month. Easyway.com/giveaway. Enter in your info and you are entered in. Make reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with Easy Way systems, chemicals, and equipment. So that's easyway.com/giveaway. Just drop your info in and have a chance to win the $250.
Sweet. If you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, you need to hit up GraphicSource. They're the industry-leading outsource options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management softwares when it comes to SEPs, mockups, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office admin, and customer service. There's no better company in our industry to work with. They have over 40 years in the game. They really know and understand shop needs and have a proven track record of success. On your first order for a vector SEP or embroidery order, you can get 50% off by mentioning the Printavo podcast. We use them at Campus Inc. and they are a staple to our business. So thanks so much, Graphic Source. Let's get to the episode.
All right.
All right. Good morning, guys.
Where are you?
I'm at a land that I bought and I'm building a house right now, literally. But I'm in an excavator. On an excavator right now.
Building the house as we speak.
Building a house as we speak. Yeah, it's really comfortable, this excavator. So I decided to take it here instead of going up to the office.
Well, we love it. We're going to roll with it.
Do you listen to me pretty good?
Can you hear me?
Okay. All right, perfect.
Definitely.
Me too.
Eduardo, you are in Puerto Rico right now.
I am in Puerto Rico. It's 11 in the morning right now here.
And Steven, the way Eduardo and I met a while ago, my wife and I don't remember why we visited Puerto Rico. Maybe it was just vacation or wedding or something, but I always like to look up different shops in the area of where we're going. Eduardo's old shop popped up, Transom, said, hey, let's go visit. Let's go see what they're up to, see what they're doing there. And it was really cool, really very cool shop. Two stories. Second floor, though, was a skateboard mini ramp which was very cool. I remember that. Nice big open space. Downstairs, a bunch of presses and everything. Office space. And it was really, really neat. And then I got a message, fast forward a couple of years, that you did your own thing, which you have to tell us the story of this, and are on this new journey, and it's been a really profitable one for you. And so that's what we wanted to dive. That's why I told Stephen, hey, I want to dive into this a little bit more. So thank you for joining us. And yeah, I mean, let's jump in. So last time I was obviously there, you were working on Transom. I think you said you sold your stake.
Yeah, I had a 50-50 with my other partner. I sold my half to him. He stayed with the whole company, all the employees, the shop, all the overhead, everything. That was exactly when COVID hit. So, you know, there was a lot of things going on and you know, people were worried, and, you know, the world was going to end. So it was kind of like a good decision to not take the company at that moment. So it gave me some time to think that what I wanted to do. You know, I've been 10 years on production and screen printing. So I had a lot of knowledge on the screen printing business, on the process, on the industry itself, like suppliers, product providers. I had to decide if I really wanted to build a new company, like do the whole thing all over again by myself, or just subcontract, like just take care of all the pre-production. And since I had like good relations with all the other companies, like the other companies that were in Puerto Rico, I basically sat down with them, told them everything that I knew about the industry, all the clients that I brought, you know, from the other company with me. And they gave me good numbers. First off, I started off with a little press, you know, taking care of all the business that was going right at that moment. You know, later, after just like about a year, I started doing big orders with automatics in other shops in Puerto Rico.
Eduardo, in whatever you're comfortable sharing, you were partnered with the previous shop still runs. So selling your stake, how did that conversation go with partner with splitting ways with?
You know, it wasn't the best. It wasn't bad, but he wanted to go one direction. You know, he wanted to do something really corporate, have a lot of employees. And I wasn't, you know, in love with that direction. I wanted to have like a hands-on with clients. I just want to have like 15 to 20 good clients. There could be more, but give them the best service possible, like be on time with everything and just give them a little bit more service than just come with your order and your order's ready, come and pick it up. He wanted to go that route and it wasn't the best. A couple of stuff happened and we decided that it was the best thing to do. He takes his part and I'll take my way.
Eduardo, when you sold, so ironically enough, during COVID, right when COVID hit, me and my business partner bought our other business partner out at the same time. So I think that was an interesting like point. How did you guys, when you decided we can't do this anymore, did you tell him like, just buy my half? Did you put out a number? Like who gave the first, walk us through how do you actually sell half of your company back to someone else? How does that work?
Honestly, it wasn't easy. It was, I never done it before. I never sold part of a business before. And, you know, there was a couple of meetings with accountants. That was the really big question. Like how much was the business worth? And there was big numbers at the beginning. I was like, whoa, wait. Yeah, it makes sense. Like it's 10 years in the making. We started in a garage. And all of a sudden, we have two automatics, 12 employees. It was kind of crazy, but everybody put their part in. And it wasn't really accountable. Like, I put so many hours in. My associate put so many hours in that we really didn't count in there. So at the end, it came out to a number from the number that it started in the beginning, 250-something. Okay, it all came down to, you know, quarter of it, an eighth of it with the part that I took. Yeah, it's kind of bad, but it was math. It all came down to numbers and are you happy with that? I'm not happy, but this is, you know, we agreed on it. And I took my part and started my own business on the side. Also, we were specializing only in screen printing by then. Now I've expanded, you know, a little bit of knowledge in sublimation. I have a little shop of DTF that it's constantly doing jobs, like small jobs, but it keeps the big clients happy. They have something rush and I could, you know, serve them with that. And that didn't exist in the 10 years that I was in Transom. Also embroidery, it's getting, you know, I'm putting a lot of time into learning all these other disciplines.
So Eduardo, like, and for shops listening, when you evaluate your shop for what it's worth, simply what we did, because your book of business isn't that valuable unless you have contracts and returning customers, right? Like it's hard to do that. It's hard to look at 3 years of profit because most shops bury their profit to nothing. They pay themselves. They try to make no money. So you can't really do that. And so like the formula that I've, you know, the small business napkin math is taking all of your equipment and looking at what it would sell on the open market if you were to liquidate it. That's your percentage of your assets, basically. And it's, you know, and then looking at what your, you know, what you paid yourself, any profits, basically employee salaries, combining that, times that by 3 years. And that's kind of what you combine those two numbers. And that's sort of where you get to. And so it actually doesn't come out to a lot.
No. 10 years does. 3 years, not much, really.
Yeah. I mean, I completely forgot, Stephen, that you went through this literally at the same time that Eduardo did with your third partner.
When you ripped the Band-Aid off, finally, we had a third partner and it just like wasn't working out with him. And I put the card out that was like, I can't, either I leave or you leave. And you don't have to give them all that money up front. You can pace it out. And so we did give him some money up front. Hey, here's money. And then we did it over 4 years. We're like, hey, we're just going to give you, you know, this money, this much money, which is essentially like a piece of his salary, and it's going to go for 4 years. And when that's over, I still own, we buy his shares right away, but then he gets paid over 3 or 4 years. And that is a peaceful way to do it.
I'm not telling the whole truth, but I left some things out. I mean, there was some friction. There was some friction, obviously, in the business, in the negotiation. You know, I wanted to buy the business, but my number wasn't his number, you know. And it was at the end, I saw that he wanted to stay with the business a little bit more than I did. So I kind of like left that route.
Eduardo, was there anything about like you couldn't touch the customers that were already existing there, or you could do whatever you wanted because you were kind of starting over?
Yeah, there was an agreement for a year, and that happened. I had to literally a whole year not take any clients from me and like from the company that were mine, basically, that I brought them in. I brought in most of the clients, like the big guys. And I literally had to a full year just go with everything that came directly to me, because big companies, they went to Nicole. You probably know Nicole, and she's the one that takes orders in Transom. All the small guys, I literally lived the first year with those guys. Little orders that were coming in, new orders. I literally went out in the streets to get more people. But like when the contract ended, I really had to knock on doors. Most of the people that are big, they knew what was happening. So they knew that they had to wait to give me help, like come back to me. Cause there are people that are really close to me. In the States, it's, I could assume that it's a little bit different. It's huge, you know, but here in Puerto Rico, everybody knows each other. This is a little island. So I don't know if that answered the question, but
you guys had, it sounds like you had a conversation around, hey, what do we want longer term? And it sounded like that was a really helpful conversation, at least in the end, right? It's like, okay, well, you know, one person, which nobody's right or wrong from what I'm hearing, but one person wants a bigger company, more team, more staff, more you know, growth and everything. And another is, well, I really like this size. I want to stay here. And that's a great, you know, try to align that. That's a great thing to have and to work through. That's pretty difficult to be able to sit down and do that.
Yeah, it wasn't, it literally wasn't easy to do all these changes. It was a big transition for me and for him also. And still to this day, there's a lot of clients that are in Transom. I see it in the social media that they came through me, and I don't go and knock on their door, you know, cause I'm good right now.
Eduardo, if you could go back in time 5 years, 10 years, and give yourself advice to avoid a situation like this, what would you have done differently? If you were to go back in time and talk to a younger Eduardo, what would you tell him to have done earlier?
Definitely go back to the numbers. Be more aware of the numbers of the company, like literally the numbers of the company. What are you really earning? Like we never sat down to revise those numbers. Years passed. And I think it's very healthy for a company that the owners sit down and see the status of the company. Not, you know, 10 year passes and then you want to take different sides. And now you sit down and check what's going on with the company. So we call it incertidumbre. It's like, you don't know what's going on.
But at the end of the year, I'm sure you guys look to say, okay, hey, here's how the company did at a top level, right? You know, here's the revenue, maybe here's the profit, and here's our owner's pay and so on. Are you saying a deeper level of that in terms of you would wish that you guys would have, you know, aligned based on what you wanted to spend or...
Yeah, but there was a lot of verbal things, agreements that we had, and those weren't solid, right? He used to work another job. I used to work another job. So this was, you know, Transom started as a second gig. And, we always had, income coming from other companies. So that's, you know, when you have that and it's not your main job, you don't put that much effort into it. You know, if it's not your first income, then things like that happen. 10 years pass and you don't really sit down to see the numbers quite like really well. Yeah, I'm sorry. As long as the company, the account on the bank had good money and our employees were paid well and, you know, everything was going well, we didn't pay that much attention to it. At least that I didn't sit down with him and talked, you know, numbers exactly what's that were going on.
You know, what's interesting is, so once we bought out one of our business partners, as everyone knows, and he's been on the podcast once, my business partner, Jed, is twice my age, almost twice my age, completely different views of the world and how we operate. He owns several other businesses. And the one focus that I have, what is my relationship with my business partner and how do I make sure that's the healthiest? Because it's like a marriage, right? Like communication and problem solving and conflict. And once we got advisors and coaches to sit with us every quarter, what we ended up doing is I had, you know, one advisor that I looked up to that we both liked. He also brought one to the table that was like his longtime family friend that he trusted. And we just sit down every quarter and they would challenge us together. Like, what happens if this happens? What happens if this? What happens if you guys... And it brought our relationship closer and closer together. Was there anything you guys did to try to work on that? Like, did you have advisors or coaches, or looking back, did you wish you did that?
I mean, we did that exercise in many ways, but not in terms of the money of the company. You know, we avoided that one, but we did sit down to make decisions on everything else on the company. We need a new graphic designer. We sat down, we grabbed, you know, resumes and we go through all of them. And, you know, that type of exercise we did for everything that it was, you know, needed for the company. But at the same time, the most important thing, you know, the numbers of the company, it was like a delicate thing to sit down. And we never, like, we had our accountant, but not too many details went into those conversations.
Steven, now that you and your current partner, Jed, have a really good relationship, that is a good point. Like, what are the things that you guys do to, because I'm sure you don't agree on everything, but I know you guys get dinner, it seems like a lot. So it's probably a personal connection plus a business connection. Do you guys try to do you talked about these quarterly kind of, you know, alignment business meeting things. Like, what are some of the things that you guys do to help create a strong business
relationship? Yeah. So the one thing is, whenever I'm in town, we get dinner. We go to the same restaurant. We go to this Mexican restaurant we love called El Toro. And it's like that sometimes Chili's. But we always go to El Toro and the two of us just sit together and talk, because he's like a dad to me as well. And so that's like priority number one. And then, you know, he doesn't understand everything we're doing in the business, but I give him enough that he can feel like he has a seat at the table, because he's not, you know, some crazy tech person, doesn't know everything and anything. And really, like, we really define, like, what do we need from each other? And how do we commit to each other's leadership so that it's not like he's coming in and there was a point where I had to say like, Jed, I'm leading this company, even though you own it with me, and I need you to back me up, so that we're not ever butting heads publicly. And so, like, that was a big thing, is like, conflict happens privately, not in front of employees, and just, you know, working on our relationship, you know.
When things get heated up to a certain point, it's hard to sit down. It gets to a point that it's hard to sit down and have dinner, especially when you see that each person is heading their way. When I say, like, literally heading their way, it's like he's sitting down with the accountant without me. And that's something that it was never done before, and you see that. And so now conversations are a little bit more uncomfortable. And some of, like, one of the things that really blew me out and made me make the decision of parting ways, it was firing an employee, me not being in Puerto Rico, not telling me anything about it, just coming back to the shop, and all of a sudden one of the press operators is fired. And I'm like, what's going on here? And the one of the sad things about it was that I didn't hear about it through him. It was through somebody else. And you know, things like that just like top the cake for me. And I think it was time to part ways, and we did the best we could, I think, to do it in, you know, easily. And a couple of days ago, he wrote to me about some orders printing live to see if I could help him with that, because I did some printing, live printing also. And I don't know, things, I hope, you know, things are well for him. I don't know what's going on with the status of Transom right now, but I really did a drastic change of selling the company and what I'm doing now. Just focusing on pre-production and subcontracting the rest of the jobs are just giving me so much free time. I have a daughter. I have a 4-year-old daughter, which I now spend most of the time with her. That's really valuable for me. Which before, I had to be on the company every day at 9 a.m, make sure there were enough jobs for the rest of the day. All the employees were there. You know, it's just, it's been really good for me.
Let's talk about that, actually. I'm curious, so you now have an opportunity to reset, right? You know, part ways, it's like, okay, like, we're going to do our own thing. That's cool. You can create the new business that you want, right? Like, it's kind of interesting. We don't have that opportunity all the time. What does that dream business then look like, and what did you start to create here?
Yeah, I named it Puro Print, which is it's an ongoing business. It's a screen printing business. Started all of screen printing, obviously, at that moment, and DTF came, so right away I grabbed it and started doing some small jobs, polos and hats, and they were like moving really fast. So I started grabbing a lot more clients with that process. But main focus was to keep the overhead really low. All right. No employees. I subcontract like absolutely everything, which good relations has helped me with that a lot. I even have runners. So they pick up the boxes of shirts here, leave them there. They get produced. He picked them here, take them to the client. So yeah, I really enjoy and appreciate the liberty that I have right now doing it. Still, I sit down with the owners of the companies. I could go to the presses and literally check the sample out, do some adjustments in the micro adjustments in the machine. I know the operators of the presses, so I do enjoy the process. I really like it, but I really had to think of myself, like what I want to do 5 years. I just have a daughter. And I didn't want it to be behind the press every day, putting a shirt and taking it off again. So I had to do some changes.
Do you think the ideal team then, like, obviously, you know, you want to push it as far, it sounds like, and be as profitable as you can, you know, as a solo guy. Do you think then that means, like, who is the next person to come in to be able to help you? What are they in this ideal world? What does number two do?
Yeah, number two, I've been battling because of the experience that I had in Transom. Number two, I wanted to bring somebody else like Nicole, so she could take care of all this orders and just ongoing questions that clients ask. And it's funny because AI is just helping me too much right now. It's incredible. It is crazy. It is crazy. I could give you an example right now that happened this morning. I'm doing a lot of soccer shirts. I'm telling you about 40 to 60 shirts, and they're divided in different teams. They send me the list, and I basically send that list to ChatGPT, ask him, hey, could you please give me, because they give it with the name and the back name and the number and the size. And I used to sit down and, you know, count them, how many smalls, how many large, how many, do all that. You know, I simply send it to ChatGPT. Please give me the quantities per size, per color, so I could send it to the supplier. And he just preps everything up in seconds and boom. You know, I saved hours of time. So I'm trying to you know, squeeze the as much as I can with AI so I don't have to hire this person, this assistant. But yeah, if it were to be someone, I hired an assistant that could help me with the company and some other things.
Eduardo, if you can talk about scale for a second, how big was Transom when, if you can say, in terms of revenue, you know, and how big are you now, right, being a one-man band?
Yeah, my last numbers that I saw in Transom, we were selling about, I think it was 500 to 600K. I got to be half of it right now.
Gotcha. But half of it without any employees,
without any overhead, not even a rent. I'm not paying rent. I don't have a shop.
If you talk about, I got from Mr. Cuban yesterday that said it's not about top line, it's about bottom line. Just remember that. And if you think about how much money you've made now, you know, that you're actually putting away, your lifestyle, can you talk a little bit about that versus beforehand?
I could say 3 times, you know, 3 to 4 times as much, and 3 to 4 times as much free time for me to dedicate it to something else. So yeah, it is really crazy. And like I said, yeah, it is really crazy. Like if I used to earn $50,000, you could do the math. It's 4 times that. And the thing is, the free time, it's the most, I think it's what makes me richer to have this free time on my hands. And if I want to invest it in the company, I could invest it in the company. If I want to, I do on the side private mountain bike trails in private lands. So I earn money on that, and I'm sitting on a machine listening to music. If an order comes in, I don't have employees also in the excavator, so I could stop the project and attend the clients. Most of my big clients, they know I'm in the excavator. But hey, it's 15 years in the industry. I keep reading about new stuff that comes up. All my suppliers, I sit down and see all the new things that are coming out, products that are coming out, you know. So I keep myself updated with the all the technology, but I really don't think that I need to have this huge shop. I don't think that I need to have this, you know, all these employees, which it was the biggest headache of us, like me and my associate by the end of Transom. It was the biggest headache. There was, you know, not much focus on screen printing and the process and being with the client. It was more about, you know, paying rent and maintaining employees happy. And it was hard. I could see it in all the eyes of everybody that's helping me right now.
I mean, financially, I really appreciate you being able to share that, because that's incredible. I'm really happy for you. Do you see this, Steven? Do you see, I mean, you coach shops around similar sizes too. I mean, do you advise them to look in the same direction? Like, as, hey, if you were to reset this, what does this look like? Because management of the people, very difficult, but you know, some people are very good at it as well. But not only that, that the profitability, that's wild.
Yeah. I mean, I think 10 years ago, I wanted to have the biggest shop with the coolest machines and have hundreds of employees. And I, you know, want to go to the trade shows and buy this and buy that. And now I want to be able to print what we can in-house, connect to a big network of amazing decorators that I don't want to replicate. And that's how you can grow your business, is by, you know, like, we're only 14,000 square feet, but if you think of our revenue to how big our footprint is, people are like, how do you do that all? And it's like, well, we do what we can, and then we have a great sub network. And so that's where I think shops can be really smart, is don't focus on equipment and production, focus on sales and focus on finding high value clients that can actually bring you good gross profit. And spend time in marketing and sales, and then look at this beautiful network of printers that we have around the country that can help us. And then you just become a creative solution and a hub for your clients rather than a t-shirt printer, you know?
But, exactly, you know, yeah.
Eduardo, what is the, you know, some of these, a new business, it tends to be an iceberg, right? You see the top of it, but you don't see the bottom half that's sitting mostly under the water. What is the other side? Like, what's the negative of this new situation versus having everything in-house?
Good question, really. You're making me think a lot on this one. You know, obviously the business has its ups and downs. So there's months that you don't get that much business. And especially if you don't invest in marketing, you're going to feel it. But, which I really honestly don't do much. I don't spend also a lot of money in marketing. The downside of it, you really have me thinking. Nothing really comes up right now. I could say the opposite. Like, just one of the biggest problems here in Puerto Rico, it's electricity. Electricity goes out most of the time, so shops have to close. And if imagine yourself, you have 12 employees, a shop that you need to pay rent, and your shop is not running because there's no electricity. Now put yourself in my shoes. I could just go to the other shop, which I have a good relations also, which has electricity. So see, that's a huge problem that if you have a shop here, you're going to face.
What about quality? Do you have any issues with that coming in? Because you're outsourcing everything and managing that?
Yeah, that for sure. That for sure. You're going to have to, you're going to have to know exactly like the order that comes in. Let's say it's a simple one color print, just this little small print on the shirt. You know, I have this supplier that has big machines and can order and can take care of that. I always have to approve a picture, a shirt on the floor. So you can appreciate positioning. You can appreciate size with the whole thing. If I need a close up, I'll ask for a close up. So yeah, there are some shops that are more detail oriented than others, but you with your clients, you move those orders accordingly. If you understand that. Yeah, there's even jobs sometimes that like big campaigns that have embroidery, they have sublimation, they have screen printing, and I use a couple shops to make that happen.
Makes sense.
Gotcha.
Thanks for sharing everything today. I think this is really helpful for folks that are either considering it, but also, to be honest, the first half of maintaining and trying to manage a healthy business partnership. That's not talked about as much either. Eduardo Carbia out of Puro Print, Puerto Rico. So if you need any goods in Puerto Rico or live printing, I saw you do a bunch of that on your Instagram. Reach out to them, Puro Print out of Puerto Rico. Thanks so much for being able to join us in Print Hustlers. We appreciate you guys joining us every single week on this episode. And we'll see you on the next one. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.